Evidence and Answers begins right now.
Was Jericho already in ruins before Joshua arrived? Or does archaeology support the biblical account? Join us today as archaeologist Brian Windell examines the history of Jericho's excavations. And he presents new research indicating that Jericho City 5 was occupied, heavily fortified, and destroyed within the biblical time frame of the conquest. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Today in this broadcast, we will conclude a three-part interview with archaeologist Brian Windell entitled Jericho, Recent Discoveries from Modern Excavations. Now, let's jump right in. Here's the conclusion.
Jericho was not a very large city. It was likely a couple thousand people, and it was 4.5 hectares in size, but it was fortified, and it had a palace, and it had a king, and the things that the Bible seems to indicate. But we need to kind of, sometimes what we do when we come to the biblical text is we read into it. We read city in our modern way of thinking. And into our modern minds, city is defined by population size. That's not how it's defined in the Old Testament. It's defined by, was it fortified? Did it have walls? You had mentioned Ai or Kirbet el Makadr. Again, a small fortified site that you would use the word city for, even though we would never consider that a city in the modern sense of population. And so we have evidence that the walls of Jericho, Jericho was fortified. The people in the late Bronze Age, Jericho City 5, rebuilt a mud brick wall that went up on top of the stone cyclopean wall. That's how they fortified the city.
Yeah. Now, what evidence is there then that the city was destroyed, as the Bible states? And once again, during the time of Joshua. So that would be about 1400 to 1350, right? In that window there.
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. And so there already has been published. I mean, Kathleen Kenyon published evidence. If you read her excavation report for the destruction of the house that she found, she has different phases. The first phase is a new building. The second phase is occupation. Third phase, destruction of that building. And so it's very clear. And then she writes this. She says, as concerns the date of the destruction of Jericho by the Israelites, and she's basing this on that building, that house she excavated, she said, all that can be said is the latest Bronze Age occupation should, in my view, be dated to the third quarter of the 14th century BC. This is a date which suits neither the school of scholars who date the entry of the Israelites into Palestine to 1400 BC, or to the school which prefers the date of 1260 BC, because she said it's more in that the 1300s. She also actually, in her final word on Jericho in 1979, a book that was published, a reissue of her book, Archaeology of the Holy Land, she actually moved the date of Jericho from the third quarter back to the first quarter, which is smack dab. Even the third quarter touches on my archaeological window, but moving it back, it's right in. So she would place that destruction of the house right in my archaeological window. But to me, the big discovery that I made when I was reading Negro's work, I reached out to Professor Negro. I asked him some questions, and he emailed me back, and he said, I've already answered those in an article that I've published in this book. And so I looked up the book on Amazon, and it is an obscenely priced, very thick German Festschrift for a professor over there. But part of it is in English, and thankfully, Lorenzo Negro's article, Jericho in the Late Bronze Age, is in English. So I was able to get a copy of the book. And he writes this in the book. He says, the late mud brick wall was recognized by Kenyon in the trenches she excavated in the Western Trench, Trench 1, the Northern Trench 2, and the Southern Trench 3 on all sides of the tell. And I stopped and I went, wait a minute. Kathleen Kenyon said there were no walls of Jericho, that they had eroded. What's he referring to? So I went to his footnote, and then I went to Kathleen Kenyon's excavation report, that he footnotes. And he is talking essentially about the walls that she associated to City 4. She writes, there was a heavy fill of mud brick walls piling nearly to the revetment wall. She had found this collapsed mud brick wall at the base of the Cyclopean wall. And if you've done any research on Jericho through ABR, there's this very famous cross section that they've colorized that shows the wall and this slope of red mud bricks. Kenyon says those were City 4. Credit to Bryant Wood from ABR. He was the first person I'm aware of who looked at that and went, that matches the description of the Bible, which is why he believed that City 4 was the city that Joshua conquered. But Negro comes along now and he says, no, 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 those aren't City 4 walls. Those are City 5 walls. Mm. And when I found that out, I went, oh my goodness. So Bryant Wood's description of these mud bricks falling at the base of the Cyclopean wall, creating like this ramp that they could have gone up to into the city like the Bible describes, that all fits. That all stays. It's not City 4, it's City 5. And so we've got the fallen walls now of City 5 that have been excavated by Kenyon. Again, to be clear, Kenyon said they were City 4. Negro is now associating them with City 5. In fact, he has gone back through the excavation reports and he has pointed out pictures that show the Cyclopean wall and just a few courses of mud bricks left from the late Bronze Age on top of it. The rest had fallen. Those few courses are still left, kind of the very few courses that were the bottom ones that are still remaining. You can find those in pictures online today. And then the question is, what about destruction by fire? Because the Bible says they burn the city with fire. Now, here's the problem we have with City 5. City 4 has this great destruction layer. By the way, there are other cities that have great destruction layers too. The early Bronze City has a great destruction layer as well. And it at Jericho, it has jars of burnt grain too in the early Bronze Age. And then the middle Bronze Age city has, you know, these wall, this big destruction layer by fire, jars of grain that have been burned. In fact, people say, ah, see, that matches the Bible's description of it being in the springtime, and why would they have burned grain? That's not a common thing they find, but the school that I'm at excavates at Tell al-Hammam, and they have found jars of burnt grain in multiple destruction layers. And it's just right across the Jordan River from Jericho. At Hatzor, they have found jars of burnt grain from a 12th century BC excavation or 12th or 13th century destruction layer. So it's not the smoking gun people maybe think it is. But when it comes to City 5, we have, remember I said a smaller footprint to City 5 than City 4. And that's because that was the final city that the Iron Age people scraped away and put an Iron Age city on top of. Oftentimes, in many parts of that of the Tell, the erosional effects of the rains over the years have actually reduced the Tell down below the middle Bronze Age level. So essentially it's wiped out everything on top, including the late Bronze Age. So we've lost a lot of stuff that way. Some of the early excavations, we've lost stuff that wasn't documented completely. But still, Negro said this in a presentation he made at Asor. He said the late Bronze Age ended in some kind of conflagration. And then there's a gap. The late Bronze Age seems to end in a fierce destruction, which, however, is not clearly documented as it was excavated by the first two excavations in a non-reconstructable way. So what he's saying is, look, there's evidence that it was destroyed by fire, but he doesn't tell us a date. But he's also said this. He also notes that there is a drought of archaeological evidence in the last century of the late Bronze Age. So that would be the 13th century that has been interpreted as abandonment of the site. So that statement seems to imply that the destruction by fire would have happened earlier than that in the 14th century. But that's as close as we can come to pinpointing things. Remember, I said we don't get nice, clear things sometimes. And so we have some evidence by fire. It's not as certainly not as nice as the burn layer. If you go to Jericho today, you can see a beautiful burn layer from the early Bronze Age, right on the southern part of the Tell. Right by the early Bronze Age gate there, you can see beautiful burn layer there. That's not Jericho's burn layer. So what ancient people did, they conquered the city, they burned it. That's how they did it. Sometimes, and it seems this is way at Hatzor, they would burn selected parts of the city, the city gate, or the temple, or the palace, not the entire city. See, we read the Bible and we read into it. It says they burned the city with fire. We think Dresden in Germany in World War II, firebombing the entire city goes up in flames. But that need not necessarily be the case, because there's often rhetorical language that's used in the late Bronze Age texts of the Bible, the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. For example, Kenneth Kitchen points out a couple of examples where it talks about them killing every man, woman, and child. And then in the very next chapter, you've got the same people group there. Well, where did they come from if you killed every man, woman, and child? Well, we call that rhetoric. I tell people this. When I was a teenager, we used to play hockey against different other communities. My hockey team played against other communities. My community did. But we all went to the same high school. So the game day, there'd be a lot of trash talk going on back and forth between us in the hallways. And so we would look at them and we'd go, hey, you're dead meat tonight. Now, did we actually mean that we were physically going to murder them on the ice? No, we didn't mean that at all. I was just rhetorical language. And the Bible has some of that in it. So when it says it burned the city with fire, it need not mean that the entire city was burned with fire. At Hazor in the 14th century, 15th century, there only seems to be evidence for burning at a city gate and at a temple. And yet I would say that satisfies the biblical description of burning a city with fire. And so as at Hazor, I would say probably similar. There was probably limited destruction by fire at Jericho. And we have a limited footprint of that city there, because of erosion, because of previous excavations, because of the way things are there. But there seems to be some kind of fire. We just don't have much further yet. Until Negro publishes his final report, we'll maybe get a better idea of that. I'm actually looking forward to it. I've been invited to speak at a conference in Germany in October. I'm one of the four speakers. And one of the other speakers is Lorenzo Negro, the excavator at Jericho. And so I'm looking forward to meeting him and to asking him some questions. Maybe he can give some more indication of this destruction by fire that happened at Jericho, maybe pinpointed a little more. At the very least, what we do know is we've got destruction in the city of Kenyon's house within the chronological window. We've got fallen walls associated with City 5, just as the Bible describes, and maybe a little less specific, still some destruction by fire. So when I look at all the evidence that I've researched, I go, there is evidence of occupation, there's evidence the city was fortified, and there was evidence the city was destroyed, all within the chronological window set out by the biblical data. And so I would suggest that City 5 is a candidate, a good candidate for the city that Joshua conquered.
Yeah, going back to what you said about when he said they burned the city down, often you'll see it was the city gate, the temple, and maybe the government building. And those would be the three major structures of a city. I mean, when we say city gate, we're not talking a small little iron gate. I mean, a city gate was major. It was one of the major structures you see in the book of Ruth. You know, that's where the elders sat. That's often a four tower or a six tower, huge, huge structure there. The big marketplace would be there. And so when you say burn the city gate, that's a major structure there. The temple or the main temple, that would be another main structure there where sacrifices took place, and it housed the priests and the servants over there. And so when they say they burned the city down, they just burned those three major structures. I mean, that's major there.
Well, yeah. And here's the problem at Jericho. Where is the city gate? It appears that, the ancient people, when they reused the fortification from a previous time period, the city gate would be in the same area. And in this case, it's right by the spring. Unfortunately, the city gate from the Middle Bronze Age is right under the road, the highway that goes past the Jericho. They have found part of one tower right by it. But the gate, they hypothesize, is right under the road. So we can't excavate the gate at Jericho, is what I'm saying. It's probably the late Bronze Age gate is in the same place the Middle Bronze Age gate was. And so unfortunately, there's a highway that goes right over top of it right now. And so that's what I mean when we look at Jericho, where, first of all, we have a very difficult stratigraphy. We have a site that has been ravaged by erosion over the millennia and previous excavations, and the building of the people in the Iron Age, which scraped everything apart. And so there still is evidence you can find to show that it was occupied, fortified, and destroyed within the time frame there. But I get why people like City 4. It's got a massive footprint. It's got great destruction. It's got a same thing with the early Bronze Age. Great footprint. It's got destruction. It's got City 5 has less things. And I met a lady who was on the excavation team. I met her at the Albright Institute in Jerusalem. I was doing some research there. They've got a great library. And one of the years I was excavating in Shiloh, I took a day and I went there. And I asked the lady who was the librarian there, I said, do you know if Negroes published anything on Jericho in the late Bronze Age? And the lady said, oh, you need to talk to this girl over here. And so I went over and talked to her, and she was on Negro's team. And she goes, what are you excavating? I said, Jericho in the late Bronze Age. She goes, oh, late Bronze Age. Why? There's so little there from the late Bronze Age. Why don't you do like the middle bronze or the iron or the early bronze? And I said, well, because there isn't a lot of information about the late Bronze Age. That's what intrigues me in part about this. And so we do have this situation where the city that Joshua conquered, there's not a ton left from it, but there is enough there, I believe, to pinpoint it as the city that Joshua conquered when you compare it to the biblical data of them being occupied, fortified, and destroyed within that chronological window I established.
Mm, yes, that's great information you're sharing there, Brian. Now, when people go to Jericho today, you know, they're just kind of taken to the tower, and then that's it. And some people may be saying, well, Brian, where'd you get all this information from? Where's this strata layers and all this you're talking about? Where would they find it?
Well, I mean, you have to do a lot of digging. So first of all, it involves reading the old excavation reports. So I don't speak German, and Selenum Watzinger's excavation report is in German. And so I literally started going through it paragraph by paragraph with Google Translate. Mm-hmm. And then when I found something interesting, I have a friend who speaks German. I would take the paragraph and I would go, hey, what does this say? Actually say, this is Google Translates. And he would correct a few things in it so I could get some information. It means reading Kenyon's excavation reports. It means reading. Garstang never published a final report. He published 5 articles in the Liverpool Anthology of Archaeology and Anthropology. All of those are available on archive.org, so you can find all of his articles there. And then he published a book called The Story of Jericho by him and his son. And I was able to get a copy on eBay. It's out of print now, so I got a copy on eBay. Mm-hmm. Kenyon's written a book called Digging Up Jericho. She published it in 1957, I believe. I got a copy of it on Amazon. It's out of print as well. Her excavation reports, I was able to get copies of and read through those. And then thankfully, right about the time I was beginning to research Jericho, Lorenzo Negro started publishing some things. So he published a chapter in a book called Digging Up Jericho, a little confusing because it's the same name, but it was published in 2020. And so that's available on his academia page. I said he published this article in this German book. I was able to get a copy of it. We had someone write ABR recently, and they said, where can I find all of the information summarized in one book? And I said, well, it's not really out there yet. I'm hoping maybe my book will be something that fills that need, because I've kind of gone through and looked at the different excavation reports. And so the information is out there. Pretty soon it will be distilled down into a single book. Trowell Press, the publishing wing of my school, Trinity Southwest University, is we're hoping, I just sent off the second round of edits to my editor. And so I'm hoping that early in the new year, that'll be published. It's called Joshua's Jericho, the latest archaeological evidence for the conquest. It'll be on Trowell Press. And so that's available. I am starting, I'm rolling out little bite-sized nuggets of Jericho on my own website, which is BibleArchaeologyReport.com. And so I kind of break down into different blogs. So I've got 3 blogs up right now, and after Christmas, I'll do a couple of more. We have a 2-part series on Jericho, on Digging for Truth, ABR's TV show that's coming out in the new year as well. And so there'll be lots of information coming out soon that summarizes all of this together. But if you want to replicate what I did, you have to find all these old excavation reports and pour through them and try and harmonize them. And I would say you really do need to consider the work of Lorenzo Negro, who has dug there for the last 20 years, because he's just started publishing stuff. And as Christians, I don't think we can keep our head in the sand and just argue about 30-year-old theories, we should look at the latest information. And I think when we do, it does align with what the Bible says, that Jericho City 5 was destroyed by Joshua at around the time the Bible indicates.
Well, that's great information there. And Brian, we're looking forward to your book coming out here. As we close, you're an archaeologist who has been studying archaeology for many years. The study of archaeology, has that increased your confidence in the historical reliability of the Bible, or has it shaken it and thrown it into question? How has the archaeology affected your understanding and confidence in the historical integrity of the Bible?
The more I study archaeology, the more I have come to realize just how much information we have that actually aligns with the Bible. I really do think as Christians, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to 150 years or more of excavations and discoveries that are related to the Bible and affirm in detail the Bible. We have things, you know, at one time people thought Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was a mythical person or a throne name for someone else. And we now actually know more about the period when Belshazzar was reigning as co-regent with his father Nabonidus than we actually know about King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And Nebuchadnezzar is a far more famous king. We now know more about Belshazzar because we have so much evidence that has been come up with his name and his co-regency and the period that he lived. There was a period when people thought, you know, King David, you know, in the 1990s, there was this big debate, you know, was he just a more myth and a more legend than history? And then we have the Tel Dan Stele that comes out that says House of David. Now we know that David was a real person and that he had a dynasty. That's what House of David means. Here's what I come back to, Pat. I come back to what Luke said at the beginning of Luke. At the beginning of his gospel, he writes this: "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have the certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." Brian's loose translation is there. Luke is saying to this man, Theophilus, listen, I have studied things historically, in this case about Jesus, and my research, I'm sharing it with you so that you will know the certainty of the things you've been taught, so your faith will be built up. I believe that good historical and archaeological research into the things of the Bible, the people, the places, and the events in the Bible will build people's faith in that the Bible is true. I often say when I come at the Bible, I'm talking about actual places, authentic people, and accurate history. That's what the Bible describes. And we have 150 years of archaeology that has repeatedly affirmed things of the Bible. And where it seems that, you know, it doesn't align with the Bible and it gets people all worked up, like at Jericho, it's that they haven't understood things properly or they haven't interpreted the evidence properly. But archaeological evidence, when properly understood, I believe affirms the Bible because it is a historically accurate text.
That's great. You've been listening to our interview with archaeologist Brian Windle. He's an archaeologist with the Associates of Biblical Research. Great website there to study the Bible and the archaeology associated with the Bible. He is also serving on the dig staff of the Shiloh excavations there as a square supervisor. And you can see many interviews with Brian there on ABR's TV show, Digging for Truth. That's a great organization we highly endorse here at Evidence and Answers. And you look forward to Brian's book, Joshua's Jericho, the latest archaeological evidence for the conquest. So, Brian, thanks for being here on Evidence and Answers and sharing all this fantastic information. We look forward to your book coming out.
Thanks so much, Pat. It's been great to chat with you.
Our time today has come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586. Or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.